What's that noise?
That's the noise of my shredder. That is the noise of every shredder in every branch that might sell, shall we say, Rolex.
Like, so not Ninja Turtle shredder?
No, not Ninja Turtles. Good grief. We're like 5 seconds into the podcast and we're already talking about comics. No, not Ninja Turtle shredders, actual paper shredders. Shall we just say that a certain watch store who, for the purpose of this conversation, we shall call, wristwatches in Germany.
How would I call them? Clocks of Amsterdam? I don't know.
Clocks of Amsterdam. For the purpose of this conversation, we'll call Clocks of Amsterdam or wristwatches in Germany.
Would that be a certain place that perhaps the three amigos jumped into?
Yeah.
That would be me, you and Logan, and nobody in there knew who we were or what we do, and decided to open their hearts and tell us lots of things.
Yes, we got some good stories this week. One in particular, which I am going to badge as being a customer service announcement, which is that it turns out, and genuinely, I think this news needs to get out because I don't think this is generally
well... this affects me.
It affects you. This is not generally well known. But if you happen to be on the list for the Batman with the Oyster bracelet, so the now discontinued edition, if you were on that list, which was a waiting list between 2 and 3 years or 18 months and 4 years, whatever you care to believe, there was a waiting list. If your name was on it and you thought, all right, okay, so the new one's come out of Basel, it's the Batman, but with the Jubilee bracelet, I'll just sit here and wait for that one to come on my waiting list to get the top of it, then wrong. Your name is now off the list. So if you are expecting a phone call one day because you were queuing for an Oyster bracelet Batman to get a call for a Jubilee bracelet Batman, it's not going to happen. It is more likely that dies in the Avengers movie.
Oh, shit.
Than for that to happen. So it's more likely for that to happen than for...
Rick, you've just not only spoiled everybody on the waiting list, you've spoiled the best movie of the year.
I'm sure you'll bleep it out. I'll just say again, dies.
But you didn't care that fell off a cliff.
Well, was it a cliff she fell off? I've not seen it. I just happened to know.
Jumped. It was.
I just have sources.
We've got to stop talking about Marvel films. So yeah, basically, we were going to a Grand Seiko event in Glasgow that we kind of mentioned before, and that was awesome. But before that, we were getting food, TGI's, met up with the TikTok collector, Logan, and the three of us went up to Clocks of Amsterdam and wandered in, and you said that the security guard shot himself when he saw you.
I think the three of us wandering in, not terribly well dressed, me with a baseball cap on and us all carrying big rucksacks, I thought they thought their number was up. There was
perhaps
hands were definitely being laid on panic buttons as we walked in. Just in case. As we walked in, and the three of us, I don't know if you noticed, but as we walked in, the three of us went in completely opposite directions to each other. I went to the left, Logan went to the right, and you went straight on. So
bit of a heist.
There was a wee squeezing of buttocks from some of the people in there, I suspect, as we piled
into
the shop.
5p, 10p.
Yeah. Anyway.
So anyway, we walked in, and yes, I don't know where I ended up. I think I was going for the Omega stuff to see what they didn't have in stock. And they only had two sales guys kicking about. And one of them was kind of young and hip and happening and had a nice blow on. He says, how can I help you? And we wandered over. And what happened next?
Was he basically told us lots and lots of interesting stories.
Such as?
But before we get there, welcome. This is episode 33 of the Scottish Watches podcast.
Correct.
Anyway.
Well done. You got it right.
as you were saying, yeah, basically he told us that, yeah, he's getting a few complaints because for reasons not entirely clear, possibly to do with GDPR and some other bits and pieces, if you were on the previous waiting list, the only way to get on the new waiting list, you don't automatically transfer, which would seem to be the reasonable thing. You actually have to go back into a store. You can't even do it on the phone. You have to go physically present to wherever you want to buy your watch from and get yourself back on the waiting list. And so if you've been sitting on there and your name was near the top for the Oyster bracelet, Batman, let's say you were maybe 3 or 4 months out, Well, newsflash, you're right at the back of the queue now if you go back into that same shop. And I think it applies, it's not just for clocks of Northern Germany or watches of Amsterdam or whatever. I think it's for any Rolex, and the way it works everywhere is if you were sitting on the waiting list for a Batman, you need to rejoin the list at the back of the queue.
Well, this explains something, and I kind of mentioned it when we were walking around, because we ended up going up, wandered down the arcade afterwards and ended up in Tom Call's place. And he, not him, one of his staff, quite a knowledgeable young guy, he was telling us that people have come in recently and gone mental because of this. A lot of people have been affected by it and they don't know.
Yes.
Until they pop in or they phone up. And who does that? Because last year the James Cameron got updated, the D-Blue, they changed the movement and the case and the bracelet. I was on the waiting list with Clocks of Amsterdam up in Glen Eagles. And I thought, I've not heard from those guys. And I just thought, okay, well, look, my time will come. And obviously now that the details have changed, it's a new model number, I'm not going to get a phone call. Mm-hmm. So I'm pissed off about that. Mm-hmm. So that's annoying. And the reason that the guy gave was something to do with data protection. And, you know, if you're on a list for this, then you can't be on a list for that. But there's nothing stopping people being phoned who are at the top of the previous list to say, by the way, that's been discontinued or upgraded. Mm-hmm. Would you like to go or would you like to come back in? But not to even get back in touch with people, that is not cool.
Yeah, it is.
I can see how a lot of people are going to be really f***ed off of that.
It is rather annoying, I would suggest. However, on the bright side, at next door at Watches of Switzerland, they happen to have a very nice new Tudor Black Bay Bronze, the new edition from Baselworld, in the store. So if you happen to be in Glasgow and you fancy one of them, there is one in Glasgow right now, unsold, sitting in the shop. So by the time this podcast goes out on Monday, weekend will have passed, so it may well have gone, but if you fancy a Black Bay Bronze, brand new, fresh from Basel, go in and get it. And when you go in, make sure you tell them that we sent you.
Yes. See, you heard it here first.
You heard it here first.
No, those guys were, they've got a lot of stuff. I mean, I just wandered in like a couple of months ago and they had one of those Tudor GMTs just sitting. Mm-hmm. You can have it just now, the guy said, and look, there's waiting lists. And when we had Jody on the podcast, he said there's like 8 months waiting list in Australia for this. They seem to get some good stuff in. And they've said that things have sped along. Last year was terrible for getting any kind of Rolex sports models and some of the Tudors, but this year alone, he said there was something like, was it 4 Jubilee Pepsis?
Yes, they've had 4 in already. I think they actually had a Tudor GMT Pepsi in store as well when we were in. We just didn't see it. But I think he said they had one in the safe. So if you're fancying a Tudor this weekend, that's the place to go in Buchanan Street.
Yeah, they seem
but
to
there we go.
Be getting it. What else was he telling us? He was telling us lots of interesting things, wasn't he?
He was very nice. He was very nice indeed. Mm-hmm.
And it was at the very end of the conversation that he asked what we were up to, and we said we were going down to Porter's and we were going to be getting some photographs and potentially doing an interview for the website. And they said, what website? And then the penny dropped and he probably realised he shouldn't have said a lot of things he just said.
No, I'm sure it's fine. I'm sure he'll not get into trouble, but if he needs a reference, we'll give him one for when he tries to apply for a job at Chisholm Hunter. Good. Anyway, so that was good. So, yes.
Did you hear that? Right.
Aye, so I heard.
So, yeah, this week I have been up to lots of cool things, including going to the cinema at midnight and watching the new Avengers film, which took 3 hours. And then everybody sat waiting through the credits to see the cool thing after the credits. Mm-hmm. And after 10 minutes of credits, the lights came on and there was no after credit scene.
A bit like waiting on a Rolex waiting list, really. You wait all that time and then nothing. Wait all that time and then no payoff whatsoever.
Nothing happens at all. Well, that's Batman superheroes, isn't it?
So while we might,
what do you expect?
So while we might delete all the other things we're saying about Avengers Endgame, we will not delete the fact that, yes, see, when it's finished, it is actually finished. Just leave the cinema, get into the car park quicker, go home. Nothing to see here.
But the full cinema sat in their arse.
Is that right? Did anybody leave?
Full cinema.
Really? That's very funny. I'd have to say, if Stan Lee had still been alive, and obviously the directors of that particular one, they would have had a good giggle at that, knowing that everyone's sitting on their backsides waiting. You kind of half expect them to come on and blow a raspberry at the end of it, just as I got you.
Well, you know, it was a good film. I enjoyed it. There wasn't a single female dry eye in the house. mm-hmm. at the end of it after what happened. And a lot of the dudes, well, we ended up going into Rocks in their girl arcade and I spoke to Ross.
Yes.
And Ross was telling us how tired he was because he'd been looking forward to a movie and went and watched it. And I said, okay, Avengers? Yep. And then he starts telling us how he was roaring and crying and all his pals were roaring and crying and it was terrible and... Oh, it was a shame for the wee guy.
Had he not done a double header? Had he not, like, watched...
Oh, yeah.
What's this?
He went
what's
for the double bill.
What's the previous one?
That one was Infinity War.
Infinity War. So Infinity, he'd done a double header of Infinity War and Endgame. Hardcore.
Which is about 6 hours.
Oh, dearie me.
Yeah, he said he dehydrated himself, so he wouldn't have to go to the toilet.
and then cried dry tears.
He would rather that the liquids came out the top end and the bottom end. But he enjoyed that. And I was thinking back, the only film I remember going to see ever where dudes were crying was the Fast and Furious one uh-huh. that came out after Paul Walker died. Mm-hmm. And they'd kind of done the CGI thing with his brother. And the bit at the end where... Paul Walker kind of drives off in one direction in the fork in the road and Vin Diesel goes off in the other. That was a bit of a tearjerker, but yeah, Endgame, fully recommend it. Go check it out. It's good.
Cool. I think I've only seen one of the Fast and Furious films. Didn't really get it.
Okay.
Not really my cup of tea.
Not enough sermons and gospel for you?
Not enough biblical content.
You're like, I'll just go and watch Ben-Hur again.
I'll go and watch Billy Graham the movie.
Billy Graham.
I don't know if they ever made a movie. Well, I doubt it.
You should go and watch some Bible John documentaries or Fletch Lives.
Fletch Lives. We've had.
Have you seen that?
Come on, how have we managed to mention Chevy Chase in two out of the last three podcasts? That's ridiculous.
Here, Fletch and Fletch Lives, cultural references. They are awesome movies, great soundtrack.
I don't think Fletch Lives is up to much, but Fletch is quite good.
It is. It's good.
Anyway, what's the Dan Aykroyd one where they're spies? Is that Spies Like Us? That Spies Like Us? That's quite funny. Quite like that. Anyway, that's enough Dan Aykroyd and Chevy Chase references. Unless we're gonna do Call Me Al as well, because that's a good song. I like that song. That's the song of my childhood.
Well, at least we started this podcast off talking about watch stuff.
We did,
and it was a public service announcement.
Public service announcement. We have fulfilled our duty.
That leads on to the rest of our little jaunt down to our Gael Arcade to James Porter and Son, and that was the Grand Seiko event. Mm-hmm. So a bit of a, I don't know, a returning to the origins.
Yes.
We didn't buy any G-Shocks this time.
We kind of, to stretch the metaphor, brought the Infinity Stones of G-Shock and went back in time to before everything had happened and clicked our fingers and then reappeared mm-hmm. as our origin story.
Now, you keep telling me you've not seen any of these films, but you have a hell of a lot of inside information.
Yeah, I couldn't possibly...
Are you a Comic-Con insider?
I couldn't possibly comment on who I do or do not know in the script-writing industry.
But you sat down and, instead of watching the film, read a script? That's hardcore. Okay. But yeah, we went to this Grand Seiko event and we met our pal Rob. We met him and he had no time for us because people were busy buying watches off.
Yeah, but we were hoping to interview him there and then, but it turned out that actually he was selling stuff, which was perfectly reasonable. Yet Rob has his own, as well as working for Grand Seiko, he used to work for Seiko before they gave mm-hmm. a specific role within the UK to Grand Seiko, and before that he was with Watchfinder. He has actually got his own YouTube channel, which is filmed from the Seiko boutique in London, which is a YouTube channel called Watchwise, which is actually very good. It's not got a load of content because he's just getting it going. It's obviously he's travelling around a lot, but the content that's
there
is really
good. Has he met the guy with the hands?
He knows personally the man with the hands at Watchfinder. Yes, he does. He has shaken those hands.
They're very nice hands.
Finely manicured. But there we go. So yeah,
even
check out Watchwise.
Tim Losso's.
I think Tim's let his daily routine slide somewhat. Although I have to say that it was a return to form this week. I think probably the best video that Watchbox have produced in quite a while, and that's not to say that the other stuff's rubbish, that's all great, was mm-hmm. Tim doing a boy in the sweetie shop type review of a entire table full of De Bethunes. And he's clearly consulting with De Bethune on the designs of the diving watch that they've done, on the sports watch, the GS, which is this one that's got the inbuilt dynamo that powers LED lights. Phenomenal. I think probably the best. Well, it's not released yet, so it's not allowed to go on my grail list yet. But when it comes out, I think it's just going to be a cork. I think it's going to be about £70,000 worth. So, but just looks absolutely unbelievable.
That's amazing, Rick. That's amazing. So that leads us on to, what are you actually wearing? What do you own and what are you wearing?
I'm wearing the Panerai.
Oh, God.
I did contemplate wearing something different, but...
Do me a favour, right?
You want me to reach into the box and pick something else?
Can you shut up? Can you list off maybe six watches that you own? Just read them out to me. Just round them off.
Okay. Some Swatches, Christopher Ward, some Seikos.
No, don't say some Seikos. I need the words that I can just drop into future episodes of the podcast every time you tell me you're wearing that bloody Panerai.
Three modded SKXs.
You're not getting this at all. Not getting this at all. Never mind. So you're wearing your Panerai.
All right, okay. Right. So you want me to say Rolex Explorer 2, and then you'll just ask me the question, and then you edit it in.
That. Well done. Okay. You can tell it's a Friday we're recording this.
Langa 1, just so she can drop that in. Zeitwerk.
Is this for episode 14,000?
Episode 14, when we finally nail that ALS deal. the try before you buy.
Did you know that we get, you know how we've been complaining about my ex and getting free watches and stuff? We get sent a free watch.
Oh, yeah, I heard about this. Yes, freebies.
So I'm wearing it just now.
Are you?
I'm doing my 7-day on the wrist.
Are you?
And you know how, like, Hodinkee do an on the wrist and it's maybe, I don't know, something from Oris or Omega or Rolex. We did a nice Rolex Explorer thing.
Yep.
Well, I'm wearing a spinnaker.
Cool. Like in full sail or with the jib in?
I don't know what a real spinnaker is, so that is lost on me. Is it something to do with nauticalness?
Can you not tell with the wee sail emblem that's on the face of the watch, no? Is there not a sail emblem?
What's that?
Spinnaker emblem, no. It is a spinnaker, is it not?
Don't know what a spinnaker is.
It's like a sail, the big sail that goes at the front that they normally have in all sorts of colours.
If you say so.
Anyway, there we go.
No idea. Anyway, cool. We got an email through because we've hit the big leagues and the nice people at Spinnaker said, would you like to review one of our new watches? Mm-hmm. It's a revision of, I don't even know the name of the thing. You'll find out soon enough. Would you like to review this thing? And I said, is it a free watch? And they went, yeah. And I was like, yeah, cool, send it. So, put that through the post.
Cool story, bro.
Cool story. Cheers. I just file them over. No bother. Here's my address.
Send to.
So that arrived pretty quick. I didn't even get pumped for any kind of import charges from China. So testing that out. You've seen it. What do you think?
I mean, it's £200 worth.
Yep.
For £200 worth, it's decent, to be fair. Mm-hmm. It's
actually okay. We're not just saying that because... And we're not going to keep it. Probably end up giving it away or doing a competition or something.
I think, you know, I think we give it away to our 10,000th follower, which will be in about 3.5 years' time.
Just about the time you're picking up your Zeitwerk.
Just about the time that when does the warranty run out in a spinnaker? Is it a year's warranty?
I don't think you get warranties and freebies.
We'll give it away on the 364th day.
No, it's pretty cool. So I'm doing a wee sort of 7-day tester on it to see what the accuracy is like, see if it's going to fall to bits or not, and we'll decide at the end of that what's going to happen. But so far, so good. I like the dial on, it's nice. We put this beside your Alpinist,
yes,
and this kicked its arse.
Now, you agree finally that the Alpinist is too small.
It is tiny. Logan tried to put it on, and it looked tiny on Logan. So if it looks small on a man-child, then yeah, it definitely needs to be sold.
So there you go. I'm still going to try it on a bracelet. But if that doesn't work...
You did try it on a bracelet. I watched you do that.
Well, no, I tried it on Logan's bracelet. Unfortunately, I couldn't then get Logan's bracelet over my thumb to actually get it on my wrist.
Hold on a minute. Did we not put a watch on Logan and it ended up almost up at his elbow?
Yes,
as if he was trying to take a blood pressure reading off it because the...
What watch was that?
It was so wide.
What was it?
Was that some Rolex thing?
Was it somebody's Explorer too? Was it Gordy?
That was
it'll be Gordy's watch. Oh no, was it Tom Call? That's right. Yeah. Was it the Yachtmaster 2, I think, wasn't it? that I tried on. 44 mil of loveliness.
Know. But a quick shout out, because you were going to mention that they've just had a refurb.
Yes, I've only been in Tom Call a couple of times. And it's one of these places you have to ring the buzzer to get in for obvious reasons. It's expensive, although it's pre-loved watches, they're still worth a fortune, but they have completely redone the place. And actually, you know what? It's probably right up there, despite being on the fourth floor of the Argyle Arcade and being purely used, but they've obviously got their own watch guys, repairers there. It's probably the best laid out boutique in the place, I think. It's not bad at all. It's just nice and spacious and airy and wooden floors. And because they're not having to be, you know, put Patek Philippe and Rolex banners up everywhere because the brands are forcing them to do stuff, they've just got it nicely laid out, all in nice cabinets. Go and have a look. You can see everything. You can try everything on. Very attentive. Very knowledgeable, obviously. It was great. It was good fun. Enjoyed it.
Yep. Did you get the guy's name we spoke to?
Yeah, I don't think I did, actually. So
am I asking you to remember something?
Yeah, aye. What are you doing that for? That's just a
sorry,
bad,
forgot
bad
who I was speaking to for a minute there. Yeah. No, the guy, it was a young guy, very knowledgeable, very clever, yep. Even knew like changeovers with different movements and bracelets and things like that.
Yes.
So yep, definitely pop in if you've not been for a while. And even if you have, I mean, their stock changes so quickly. They've always got some really nice bits and pieces in. And the price of them, I've already recommended to some people. Don't go and buy a new tag. Go and get a second-hand Rolex or Tudor or Omega from these guys.
And even on the used Rolex prices, because we did some quick comparisons once we'd left about what they were charging.
That wrong.
Did I?
You got that wrong. You compared something from 2014 to something 2019 unworn with stickers.
Yeah, but there was not a grand's worth of difference in that. Anyway, that's a different conversation. Women Rolex is a good deal, it'll last forever.
So meanwhile, back in the farm at the Grand Seiko event, we got to check out some of the Basel releases. Now, I'd seen them obviously in cabinets, but we got to try them on, have a play around, and I stick to my guns that the dials are just too cluttered and asymmetrical, and I don't like them, and I don't like the bracelets, and I don't like titanium. So there's my review done. What did you think?
I have fallen for two of the watches there, and I think I am going to buy one of them when it's released. I've been doing some research this morning, and I might even buy both of them. So unfortunately for Simon at James Port & Son, it's not the really expensive ones. he sold me a watch, but he's yet to sell me anything really expensive. The two that I really liked of one range were the Presage, we did this before where I couldn't remember what you call it. Porcelain! I remembered this time. the two new Presages with the porcelain dials on them. One is just a simple three-hander and the other has, I think it has a power reserve and running seconds. It has a separate seconds indicator at 6 o'clock. And deployant clasps, absolutely gorgeous. If you want that type of thing, the same porcelain that I think they use in the Creedor stuff, but these are basically around about £1,500 for stuff that's available for 10 times that price elsewhere in the Seiko range. And that was the one confusing thing about the evening for me, is the last Seiko event we went to, I felt I was getting a hang of what was Seiko and what was Grand Seiko, and then within Grand Seiko, what was sporty, what was dress, and then getting a hang of what Creedor was all about, and then also getting a hang of what the lower ends and the prospects and the presages were in the Seiko range. But the whole thing seems to have got confused again with them producing stuff that looks like it should say Grand Seiko on it because of the price and the quality, but says Seiko on it. So I'm not quite sure what the strategy is, but they seem to have gone from being quite clear over what was going in what box to actually smooshing it all back together again. So anyway, the two that I really liked ranges were the Presage with the porcelain dials. I think I might have a look at one of them maybe next year, maybe the end of this year. But I think I might be persuaded to buy the Arne, which is the Solar Digi Annie watch that's a re-release from the watch that Arnold Schwarzenegger wore in Predator, I think. Or did he wear it in...
I think he wore it in a Commando.
Did he wear it in Commando as well? I think he's worn it in a few movies. Commando, that's a great movie. I haven't seen that for years. I used to watch that all the time. That's an epic film. So the Arne, I tried that on. Really, really nice. It wasn't a working example, unfortunately. The working examples, I don't think, are due out till September, October. And there was a black version and one with a slightly stainless steel showing bezel. But I believe there's also one that's got what from the pictures looks like it might be slightly rose gold on the bezel edge. So I think if push comes to shove, I might go for that one to replace my Tissot. which I have yet to try and repair successfully or otherwise. So yeah, I was very impressed with those. I thought that the other watches, the ones that you don't like, actually looked much better in person than they have in the photos. The kind of lion's mane or lion's paw effect on the dials. I think mm-hmm. when the photos have been taken, they have photoshopped or used really bright lights so that it's giving it a depth that actually makes it look it's a flaky dial, when actually it does have ridges and contours on it, is much flatter. So I think actually in real life those models are better. And then the two Creedor models, they had a Grand Sonnerie and a Minute Repeater, but you were too busy getting boozed up to even go upstairs to hear them. I heard them and they were all lovely. So there you go. So shout out to Rob and thanks to Simon Porter for putting everybody up for the evening. It was very good. It was a good evening. Met some great people who we need to give a shout out to.
Well, I was going to say, give a shout out to Floatlight for organising it.
Yes, Floatlight. I had a good chat with him. Mm-hmm. It was fun catching up with him. Well, I didn't actually see what he was wearing.
Ah.
What did they have on?
Limited edition white dial Grand Seiko. I'll put a photo in the show notes. It's cool. Lovely.
Good. No, I didn't actually see. Oh no.
He was filling us in with a lot of.
Yes, we've got some juicy bits and pieces for another day.
It was a really good event, and
it was.
Met loads of different people. The guys that founded the Half Watch Tuesday movement.
Yes. So we met Jumping Jalapeno. Mm-hmm. Is what I call them, and the second after midnight. So they were great. They've Jumping Jalapeno has written articles for us. So it was actually really good to meet them face to face. And we met some other guys. We met our listener from Johnson. So that was good. We met loads of folk. I met the watch chap who we're going to try and interview at some stage. You've known him for years. The chap out in Maryhill.
Martin from Martin's of Glasgow.
Martin's
in
of
Maryhill,
Glasgow.
Yep.
So I had a good chat with him.
Yeah.
He was epic and met lots of the old gang. We met up with Steve McQueen. and mm-hmm. introduced him as Steve McQueen to everybody, just so they all knew.
Did
about
you?
His
I didn't. Condition.
Did you not? He was taking it in his stride, to be fair. He actually said, "You got to see this." After we'd had a conversation, "You got to see this." And I thought he was about to show me a photograph of it, you know, taken from.
Did he show you a scar?
No. Is that what was going on upstairs? No, I didn't see a scar.
No, that was good. Loads of nice people, loads of people trying to put names to Instagram handles, to faces, to watches. And it is tricky. But no, it was a really good event. It was well attended, nice people, great venue. That air conditioning in there is a godsend. But and the free food and the free booze. I was driving, so were you. Not that you would ever drink anyway.
No.
But no, it was really good. Did you enjoy your little training session?
My little what?
Your training session.
Training session, what was that? That rings a bell.
Remember I was showing you how Tinder works?
Oh! I'd forgotten about that. Yeah, and it turns out you really do know how it works. You've got a few conversations going on there, my man. most of them with women.
Yes. Well, sheep can't type, unfortunately for you.
And it's not just Tinder. It appears there is more than one online dating app being used.
Yeah. Christian Mingles is really good.
I told you I would send you all the lingo that you needed to know to get by on that app.
What's the best verse to chat someone up on?
that's a good question. I'll need to give that some thought.
What's your favourite? I like verse 69.
No, I'm not going there.
Is that real? Oh, shit. Oh, man.
Anyway, but, good stuff. So, Silent QP, have you phoned them yet? Or not Silent QP, have you phoned the Saatchi Gallery to find out what's going on?
Well, I was trying to do that in TGI's when we were having lunch.
Yeah.
But I was enjoying my lunch.
And you kept on getting messages on Tinder or whatever?
No, because I've got my notifications turned off for good reason. But I was going to phone them and I thought, I don't know if I can be bothered, I'll do it in the house. And then we spoke to somebody at the Seiko meeting and they gave a bit more information. And the long and short of it is that the magazine and the show were sold from one company to another company. The company that bought it weren't really interested in the show. The obligations for the show ran out last year. Last year's show wasn't as great as it could have been. And there's no show anymore. And that's kind of how it's going to roll. So, yeah.
Yes.
Maybe somebody was a little bit Footloose and Fancy Free with the wording of the press release that went out.
Yeah, and I've heard it from a different source, somebody else who I've not actually spoken to, but who has given indication that, as to whether the show will ever be back. But it's certainly not happening this year. But one show that is happening is that LVMH have committed to going back to Basel for 2020.
Good.
However, mm-hmm. I don't know if you've read the press release. There's an article up on the website about it. This is another one of these press releases where you've got to read between the lines, because while it's all singing and dancing about, LVMH and Basel doing good things, actually, all it really says is that they're going back in 2020. They are absolutely, from my reading of it, not committed long term, and that it's all being couched in language of, we're having a discussion about this, a discussion about that. Let's see what 2021 holds. So I think they have done I think they're basically doing a favour to MCH Group to allow them to go around the world with a bit of paper, waving it, going, LVMH are coming. Do you want to sign back up? Please, please sign back up.
Yes and no. I would say that anybody in this industry would be running on a yearly rolling basis, because even Tudor and Rolex, no one has said, oh, they've committed for 3 years or 2 years. It's, for the last few years, it's always been like, they're coming next year. They're coming next year. So no one's going to put their neck in the line and say, we'll be here for the next couple of years. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a good story, and it shows more commitment. That's what TAG, Hublot, Bulgari, who else?
Zenith.
Can't forget Zenith. Yeah, I still think Breitling have made an arse of it.
Yep. So. Did you like the way I managed to actually rhyme off a member of LVMH group there? I actually knew who the members were. Do you recall a story?
Is that perhaps because...
Do you recall a story from last night about a certain individual screaming at the radio that he was listening to us on when I couldn't remember who the members of Richemont were, other than A. Lang & Zonna and Panerai in a previous episode? And a certain watchmaker that we've already referred to told me last night that he was literally screaming in the car at the top of his voice all the other members of the Richemont group. So I'm glad to see that mm-hmm. we're getting under people's skin. I also had a message this morning on Facebook from someone saying that they have just binged listened to our podcast, and they now find themselves thinking in Scottish dialect and Scottish rambling words. And I think they're from the States somewhere.
So they are thinking about stirring porridge and other such
messages that we've passed out. They're desperate for Iron Brew bezeled Rolexes.
And jockstraps.
And them too.
Good, good. No, I heard that same story from a different person.
Oh, right, okay.
And it was another story about you being dense, but it wasn't about you not remembering who belongs to which group. It was you and your clickbait thing a couple of episodes ago. They were shouting at the car stereo. Not that you would ever hear or care or remember, but I thought that was hilarious as well.
Yes, thank you. More stuff at my expense, but, you know, that's what I'm here for. Glad it's our purpose in everybody's life.
It works. What can I say? It works.
On the back of us talking about going to the Grand Seiko event that happened last night, I was also contacted by two people, one of whom's written for the website, both of whom have, I think, still got articles that haven't been published yet sitting there, and that's Lee Evans and Dave Sargent. If you look on...
You know Lee Evans?
Lee Evans. I don't think he's that Lee Evans, unless Lee Evans is also moonlighting as an employee of Chisholm Hunter in the Arndale Centre, then...
Everybody's an employee of Chisholm Hunter.
That's true. It's true. We all work for Chisholm Hunter.
We are legion, for there are many.
I was going to say, see, you do know some Bible verses.
And is that what that's from?
And I bet you didn't even know that.
I thought that was from Anonymous or
No
A for Vendetta.
Yeah, but
know.
They pinched it from the New Testament, so there you go. Anyway, I to be fair, I was actually thinking of assimilation. Resistance is futile, you will be assimilated. That's where I was going.
Is that from Genesis?
Yes. Right before the aliens land. Nice. So anyway, Lee and Dave, you'll find them if you look on the Scottish Watches Facebook group. If you just search for people that are liking and stuff,
Facebook page.
They're both based down in Manchester area and are keen to put a watch get together down there. So if you happen to be Manchester, Liverpool, Bolton, Blackburn, that kind of area, then check them out on Facebook, try and find them, and give them a message. You'll find them on Instagram etc. And have a look on the articles on our website for them. You'll get their contact details there.
So, do you ever listen to other people's podcasts?
I think you know I do.
Do you really? Okay. There was one that I'm subscribed to and I listened to. I think the guys follow our page and we follow them. Mm-hmm. But I was kind of taken aback a little bit. It was the Cross Time Zones podcast.
Yes.
Maybe a couple of weeks ago.
I know too
and
much.
You know where this is going, don't you?
I know where this is going.
I think we're partially responsible for this, right?
The dumbing down of watch podcasts.
No, not that. You've said you've made a stance about this. You know, you really hate it when websites and YouTubers and podcasters talk about other media outlets, mm-hmm. but they never name them. Mm-hmm. And the guy, it was a guest on their podcast. I think it's Ty Alexander. He's a photographer, and he basically shredded. Not like you shredded at the start of this episode, but he shredded Federico from Federico Talks Watches and went on like a rant for a good 5 minutes, just taking him apart. Did you hear that?
It was extraordinary. And it came from absolutely nowhere. I don't really know Federico. I've watched his channel since I got into this. It's pretty enjoyable. But the guy on Across Time Zones seemed to take real upset at Federico mentioning that he is a watch retailer with his Delray watch supplies. Federico, just send us money for mentioning your website. He seemed to take real umbrage that the guy dare on his YouTube channel to mention his company. Bearing in mind it's his company, his YouTube channel, and he sells watches for a living. I just thought it was a bit peculiar to take such offence. I mean, fair enough if you're like, yeah, he mentions his company too much. And I don't actually think he does, personally.
Not usually, no.
So maybe it was just a particular episode whereby he was mentioned every 5 minutes about his stock, but I've certainly not seen that video. But it was extraordinary. And then the two hosts piled in behind him. It was really weird. I quite like Across Time Zones, I have to say, but it was a particularly vicious rant, and that's coming from us. If we think it's vicious, good grief. Anyway, so I thought...
That's all your fault.
Because they named him.
You told them to, they did.
I did.
You got to take responsibility.
So absolutely, carry on the good work. Agent Across Time Zones, you're doing well.
But if you want to hear that one, go and check out their podcast. It's a really good podcast. They've got some really good guests.
Yes.
It was just, it caught me unawares. I wasn't expecting that.
And some terrible guests as well. You don't know what I mean. You're going to need to edit that.
I know exactly what you mean. It's like the invisible baton has been passed from me to you.
And so, just on the back of talking about a couple other podcasts, can I just say that from a humour perspective, there's two YouTube channels that have actually done really well this week. I don't know if you've come across Simply Serge before. Check him out. And he does a parody of Archie, of Christian Zeron from Theo and Harris, and of TGV in a video.
I thought it was pure shite.
I thought it was actually quite funny. I thought it was quite good. But the best one this week actually goes to Teddy. We do give Teddy some sticks sometimes, but his video is actually really good. And in the middle of one of his recent videos, he goes a bit TGV on everybody and does this kind of pastiche. Oh, hold on, I've got a phone ringing. Yes, I thought it was okay, but the biscuit was well and duly taken by a guy that we sometimes get some stick to, but that always produces great content, and that was Teddy Baldassare. And halfway through one of his videos this week, he goes on a TGV 1980s Euro pop synth plug for his watch strap business, and it's actually really well done. And has the line in it of something along the lines of, these watch straps are so good, you don't even need a watch. And then he proceeds to just put the watch straps on with no watch. And it was actually very well done and very well produced, I thought. But you probably also thought it was rubbish.
No, I didn't think that was shite. I thought that was okay. No, Teddy's pretty good.
I was going to say that I actually thought that it was the first time or one of the few times I've actually said, you mate, you've actually got quite a good sense of humour and we should get you on this channel, because I think you'd actually go down quite well. So maybe that'll be a poll in the future. But that presented a side of him I've not seen that made me think, actually, you'd be quite fun to interview.
Yeah, the Teddy video, that was actually quite funny because you showed me that when we were in getting lunch.
Yeah, it was
romantic meal before.
Yeah.
Was it Logan? Logan showed me his and I'll show you mine. So, yeah, that was good. But the guy before, the kind of the impressions, when you're doing an impression of someone, you need to kind of get the accent as well as half the mannerisms. I think the funniest part was like the underarms being a little bit sweaty on the Archie thing, but it was all right. It was all right.
Okay.
Wasn't it too bad?
Not up to your standards.
No, not
up to you going into a lift when we went up to Tom Call and saying, everybody stop, and then shouting, 11!
Did you like that?
That was quite good.
11! Yeah, that was fun. Yeah. So that takes us out of some other podcasts and videos that have been happening recently that people should look at or ignore. So any more actual watch content for people?
Some watch content. So we have our usual review of the weekend watches. And there was a few interesting pieces out this week from Edox, Timex produced one that's on the website. Ulysses Nardin produced a watch that, while it's a marine style watch, actually looks like a pilot's watch, and got my shout out for Watch the Week, It's Cracking. So have a look at the article. But interestingly, we at the Grand Seiko event, although Rob didn't know the answer, we were able to suss out the answer as to what the horseshoe shape is on that Nissan GTR watch. So it turned because every article I have read on it is actually using exactly the same information and photographs that Grand Seiko put out in their press release. So it doesn't matter whether you were reading Hodinkee, Time and Tide, a blog to watch, anyone that featured it, I don't think any of them have actually had their hands on this watch because nobody mentions this horseshoe. And I think it's because Grand Seiko don't tell you what it is. But we figure it out. And the problem is that it looks like it is a single hand. Go to the article on the website and look at it. But it's actually not. It's two hands. It just so happens in the photo that Grand Seiko have put out, the two hands are in a line with each other. So it just looks like a single hand in the pictures. And what it is the inside hand is marking 0 to 30 minutes and the outside hand is going 30 to 60 minutes. As we understand it. So there you go, mystery solved. But yeah, have a look at the watches that were released this week. The winner, in my opinion, was the 44mm Ulysses Nardin Marine Torpilier Military Collection, which I thought was pretty cool. But there was also a reasonable range of other things, in particular the Timex, which is really trying to raise the game and get Timex back into the big time in terms of the watches. So there you go, some watch content for you.
Ooh, so you've kind of teased a little bit there. Is there any other stuff in this article that people might want to read?
There's a Edox, which is out, which is cool. It's not a brand I've had a great deal of interaction with. And there was a Chopard as well, which is a Mille Miglia Zagato 100th anniversary thing. It's a really interesting red colour, for what it's worth. And on a bun strap, and anything on a bun strap's always a winner in my book. But it is quite an expensive watch for what is a ETA base calibre. It's probably going to come in the UK at around about $6,000 if you can get hold of one. But if that's what you're into, that's what you're into. It has that kind of automotive link to it. And then there was also a brand that are quite underrepresented when people talk about them, but whenever folk do talk about Carl F. Bucherer or Bucherer, did we decide what it was? Because you phoned them, did you not?
Bucherer.
Bucherer. Always get really good write-ups, but I think they are...
Do you want me to correct your pronunciation of Mille Miglia as well?
Yeah, if you want to. Mille Miglia.
Okay, cool.
Mille Miglia. The Carl F. Bucherer. Shout out to anyone that's shouting at the radio just now with correct pronunciations. the Carl F. Bucherer... Bucherer. what's it? I can't remember. I've confused myself. The thing
Bucherer.
With Bucherer, they always get a really good write up whenever anybody's handling them. But unfortunately, they appear to be the sort of watch that if you're buying it, you ain't ever seeing that money back again in terms of resale.
Yes.
But they have got a really nice dive watch, which is a real Rolex killer, Omega killer, limited edition, 44mm, 500m helium release. So it's right up there with the Planet Oceans and the Deep Seas. Really nice colours, Yep.
500 meters is up there with deep sea, yeah.
Well, it's up there with sea dweller. What's sea dweller? Sea dweller's like you can't get to. I don't know why people even bother. 500 meters, you'd be dead. You'd be dead at about 180.
Is that how you're getting out of this one?
That's how I'm getting out of this. Is it actually doesn't matter. Right, okay. What,
have a rant.
It doesn't actually matter what number these people put in these watches. Uh-huh. The only thing that's surviving at that depth is the watch. And if people die in those circumstances, you'd really want your family to be coming and getting your body rather than say, oh, actually, wee Jimmy's just died in a diving accident. But you know what? His watch is at the bottom of the Marianas Trench, so we'll go and get it and just leave his mortal remains down there because we know the Rolex is working and it's gone up in value 50% in the last 3 weeks. So there you go. These watches, yeah. Okay. I'm not sure what the actual maximum depth someone can dive to before their body is crushed. But
it's about 200 odd meters.
It's that kind of depth, isn't it? So anyway.
I learned something yesterday.
What'd you learn?
I learned that you can survive in space for about 30 seconds without dying.
Is this you like watching Marvel videos again?
No. No, because they show you people instantly freezing and dying. No, it was some YouTube channel that I watch because I've got no life and
your blood Your blood evaporates, is it not?
No, no. And it's not even that cold in space.
But nobody can hear
I'm
you scream.
I'm going to send you the link.
Okay.
No one can hear you scream. And if a tree falls in a forest with no one nearby, does it make a sound?
Oh, and I wanted to do any other business. So have you got something?
You can do your business wherever you like.
Okay. As we close up this, have you got any other business to talk about? Because I've got two things I want to touch on.
Have I got any other business to talk about?
Yeah.
Right, we've talked about lots of stuff. We've talked about meetings. We've talked about people not knowing who we were and opening our guts. We've talked about Avengers. Let me think. Is there anything we have
missed? I want to do a shout out to India. That's the one thing I want to do.
Do you now?
And then the only other thing that I've noticed, I might not be bothered speaking about just now, is if you notice in a lot of these YouTube channels, you're getting really cheap fashion brand watches advertising popping up within them.
No, because I use ad blockers.
All right, okay. I've not taken a note of who it is, but yeah, there's a number of because I don't use ad blockers. I'll need to learn how to do that. You can be watching Houdinki or I don't know Watch Finder or something, and then halfway through the video, up pops this Italian geezer trying to flog blue watches that look horrid. So YouTube's obviously, well, somebody very clever in said watch brand has clearly thought, well, wait a minute, we can get a bit of kudos by appearing in the middle of Watch Finder content or Houdinki or a blog to watch content. So I just wonder if any of, to what extent, if you're a YouTube maker, you actually go onto YouTube to watch your video to see what pops up. I don't know how much control they have or whether the people, once they've done their video, they obviously watch it as an MP4 or whatever on their computer, but they never then how often do they actually go back and see, well, actually, what is YouTube sticking up here as an advert every 15 minutes within my video? Because there's some shocking watches starting to appear within the content of some of these, you know, prime time type YouTube channels.
If only we knew somebody who had a YouTube channel.
You mean like us?
Well, I meant like Jody.
Oh, right, okay. And
will I ask?
Yeah, Jody ask Jody and find out what he does.
What sort of control does
he have?
I think it's quite good granular control about what goes in. But here's something as well. Have you noticed all the YouTubers that we've had on, their audio is pish?
They don't know how to record anything.
You stick a microphone in front of them, camera, they're fine. Microphone, and it sounds, the Catlin scale, what would you reckon Jody's was?
Well, does the Catlin scale run from zero good
zero
to nine
ten.
Bad, or is it zero bad, nine good?
Nine bad.
Nine bad.
How bad was Jody's?
Jody was a solid 7.5.
Was that after I fixed it?
I never heard the before. I don't think I heard the before file.
No, I think I sorted it first.
Okay.
I think we really do need some kind of training manual to get sent out to these guys because, wow, they forget to plug mics in, they leave their speakers running. It's just a shit show.
Well, we've been approached by a couple of people asking for some assistance in making podcasts, so we will send them a user manual. That's that. I wanted one final shout out. We've done quite a lot of shout outs just because in the last few days we've met quite a lot of people.
Are you getting bungs?
I'm getting bungs, yeah. This bung is from the entire population of India, so it's quite a big bung because there's quite a lot of people out there. We noticed in our figures that we get for the podcast that there is a big spike all of a sudden for people in India listening to us. Now, that's really interesting.
Yeah, that's because I bought some listens.
He bought some. Okay,
TGV
well,
TGV sent me a link.
In that case, then, what I'm about to say will have no impact. But if you have, I would be really interested to hear from you. If you're in India and you're listening to this, I'd be particularly interested if you wanted to contact us. So just email me at rick@scottishwatches.co.uk. I'd be particularly interested to hear from you because I'd really like to understand what the watch scene is like in India. It's obviously a huge country. There is areas with vast amounts of money to spend on such luxury items. There's big sports stars out there in the cricket world, all sorts of stuff. I would be really interested, and there's boutiques everywhere, but it's just not a place you tend to hear from. You hardly hear from China, and they, you know, consume an inordinate amount of watches in the watch world. So I'd be really interested, if you're listening to this from India, please get in touch, because I'd really quite like to speak to you and hear what the situation's like out there.
Okay then.
Alrighty.
That's loud. I can tell you what people in India are doing with watches.
Why? What? Is this going to get us in... Yeah. They...
Why did you think this was going to get us in trouble? I was going to say, people in India, what they do with watches is generally redial them and sell them on eBay.
Yes, it is an extraordinary thing that when you go onto eBay, and some of them are pretty cool. I mean, I don't know if they'll last more than 3 weeks, but if you wanted a funky coloured 1970s watch, then there's a pretty cool marketplace there. I quite like some of them. I've never bought one. But,
I've bought a couple.
Have you? Why does that not surprise me? But
is that meant to mean?
But no, there's some pretty cool colour combos going on out there. But yeah, if you're listening to this, I'd be really interested to hear from you, especially if you also happen to be in the Venn diagram that crosses over Scottish Watches listener and Indian watch redialer stroke repairer. If you're in that intersection of that Venn diagram, do get in touch. Okay, well, thank you very much for listening. Glad you all joined us again. Hopefully we've not made you shout at your radio too much, but if we have, then please feel free to come on to the Instagram account at Scottish Watches, or come on to the Facebook page, or onto the comment section of the website and shout at us directly. Tell us what we got wrong, tell us what we got right, tell us what you'd like to hear us talk about next. So yeah, thank you very much for listening. We will speak to you again soon. So it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from him.
Goodbye. Oh.